All right, while we're waiting to start, let me introduce myself. I'm Father Ed Wills. Some of you I know, or at least I've seen. I've been here a couple of times, and I'm really bad with names. I am really bad with any kind of memory. So, I know. I did a retreat on prayer, I guess, last year. And some of you are here, and then now we're going to do a retreat. Our retreat this weekend is on the healing of the wounds of the soul. And we're going to start tonight with the healing of regrets. Tomorrow we're going to do the healing of bitterness and also the deliverance from deception. So those are the three things we're going to cover this weekend. Now let's begin by inviting the Holy Spirit into our presence, okay? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be recreated and you shall renew the face of the earth. Be in our presence, O Holy Spirit. Guide us in our discussion. Guide us in our thoughts. Protect us from every deception of the enemy. Rule in our minds, in our wills, and in our emotions, and bring healing by your grace and power. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to talk about the healing of the regrets. Now, I'll be honest with you. When you get to be my age, you can have a lot of regrets, right? And I developed these healing exercises, these prayer exercises for healing, really in response to my own PTSD journey. I guess if you saw the flyer, it talked about me being stationed in Lebanon in 1983. Two significant events in Lebanon in 1983 was the bombing of the U.S. Embassy in Beirut, and then also the bombing of the Marine barracks, also in Beirut, in which over about 250 U.S. soldiers, Marines and sailors and American servicemen died in that bombing. And my team was there. I was the officer in charge of the construction battalion detachment. So we had the equipment, we had generators, we had lights, and so my team was there on the scene immediately cleaning up body parts. We cleaned up body parts for days. And thereafter, during the Lebanese Civil War, struggling mostly with the Hezbollah, which is still a problem in Lebanon, that kind of a combat experience leaves a mark on you. And there are a lot of other things that leaves marks on us. And a lot of times we carry those through, especially at least I find that men a lot of times, we're pretty macho, right? We don't want to admit that we're struggling. And so for years after I came back from Beirut, if you'd asked me, do you have PTSD? Do you have any problems from your combat experience? I'd say no, because I felt I was very functional. I could manage in life. But the truth is I had some very deep wounds in my own mind, my will, and my emotions, what we call the soul, that eternal part of man, our minds, our wills, and our emotions. And so I began developing these healing exercises as to begin my own healing journey from my PTSD. And I'm not saying I'm fixed yet, right? But I'm on a healing journey, and I think that's the way most of us can aspire to is a healing journey. And hopefully tonight some of you will be able to begin that healing journey in your own life. Now the first thing I want to make a note of is that it is absolutely impossible to overstate the transforming power of God's love. We are not capable in our humanity to grasp how immense God's love is for us. God loves us so richly. One of the things I like to do is I like to read stories of people who had a near-death experience. Maybe they, you know, they experienced heaven for a period of time and they came back to this world, right? And in one of them, one of my favorites, a young woman, she died, she goes to heaven, and she's walking through this field, all right, and there are beautiful flowers, there's wonderful grass, and her guardian angel is kind of leading her into heaven there, and she goes, wait a minute, is the grass singing? It sounds like the grass is singing, that the grass and the flowers, it's singing. And the angel, her guardian angel says, yes, that's right. The grass and the flowers are singing. And she says, why are they singing? And he says, they're happy you're here. Do you get the idea that God loves us so much that all of creation desires to have a relationship not only with God, but with you? You are so special to God. All of creation, all of the immensity of God's presence is focused on each of you as individuals and all of you as community. The immense richness of God's love for us. Tonight we're going to talk about healing wounds of the souls. Now here's the question is, do you feel like you need healing? I didn't for a long time. I didn't feel like I needed healing. I was able to do just fine. Actually, the truth is this is an embarrassing statement. My PTSD, I went so long refusing to admit it, that even though I've started a healing journey, I've discovered that I did myself brain damage. I have inflicted damage to the neurons of my brain, and so the VA hospital is now is trying to help me reprogram my brain to work around some of the damage I did just by my unwillingness to accept the reality that I had struggles. It's very easy to deny the reality of our struggles. But regrets is a key element to understanding, yes, I have some wounds in my soul because I am carrying these regrets around with us. And one of the things that I've experienced, and maybe some of you have as well, is that you'll remember something that happened in life. And when you think about it, maybe it was really an embarrassing moment or something that you did that you really wished you hadn't. And when you think about it, those emotions start to resurface. Sometimes it's physiological. Sometimes you can feel your heart starting to race. You can feel your hands becoming sweaty. You feel your blood pressure rising. Now, when you're carrying with you regrets like that, there are wounds in the soul. There are wounds in the mind and the will and the emotions. And a lot of times those wounds had nothing to do with you. There are some things you couldn't help. All right, if you've lost a parent, either to divorce or to death, that can leave deep wounds in our souls that we need to seek healing for and seek cleansing from. Sometimes abuse, early in childhood even. Sometimes even before we were cognizant. When there childhood abuse when we're less than 2 or 3 years old, and we can't really put our finger on why we are struggling in life, why we have tendencies towards self-destruction, why we just can't seem to make a rational decision, why we always make the wrong decision. Why is that? And sometimes that's because there are deep wounds in our soul that we cannot even realize what it was, but we know that there is something there. And we find ourselves robbed of self-confidence. And it all begins with a wound from sin. Now let's think about our first parents, Adam and Eve. Now our first parents, they sinned, right? What And that sin wound up separating them from God. But really, what did separate them from God? Think of the story. Well, we know that Eve was deceived by the serpent, right, into eating the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam, like any good man, he kind of went along with whatever his wife said, right? So, so Eve says, hey, this is pretty good. Why don't you take some? And Adam, he followed suit. Is that what separated them from God? Think of the story. What separated, the first thing that happened is that they were filled with two things, fear and shame, and they covered themselves. They did not want God to see them in their nakedness. And so they put a wall between them and God in the form of a fig leaf. God didn't push them away. In fact, in the story, God comes looking for them. God comes desiring to restore relationship with Adam and Eve. He comes desiring to walk with them again in the cool of the day, as he always did, to have that relationship with them. But they ran and hid in fear. See, a lot of times, I don't know, you know, I was kind of raised to be afraid of God. Were you raised to be afraid of God? I know my Pentecostal grandmother, she used to wag her finger at me and she said, God is watching you. And I was afraid, you know. And you know, here's the sad thing. You know, the Bible says that God does see us, but not so he's not watching us so that to catch us if we screw up, so he can whack us. You know, there's a name of God called Yahweh Yireh. And that literally means the Lord sees. And the first time it's used in Scripture is when Hagar flees the abuse of Sarah, and she and her son are in the desert and they're about to die, and God sends an angel to provide for them because the Lord was watching over them. He sees our needs and he rushes in to give himself to us, to bring provision and healing to us. The Lord sees. But yet we twist that. So often in the church we twist that. God is watching you. Be careful. You mess up. You do something wrong. He's going to whack you. And so we have a complete misunderstanding of what sin is. We think sin is when we break one of the rules, right? We miss a Sunday obligation. Uh-oh, we committed a sin. Better get to confession. But sin is not us breaking a rule. Sin is us being separated from God because we have run away. God's desire is always to restore, to bring us back into the purity of that relationship with him. Will we allow God to cleanse our darkness and bring his burning light to see us in our nakedness, to strip away the fig leaf, and let God say, I love you just the way you are. That's reconciliation. That is the healing of the wound of sin. The second thing we notice in the story with our first parents is the wound of shame. They were ashamed, and that's why they ran and hid from God. Have you ever received a gift that you really didn't feel like you deserved, and so you did something to mess it up, you gave it away, you broke it? I've seen this happen in marriages where people feel like they're not worthy of being loved, and so they mess up their marriage and wind up divorced because they just never felt worthy of love. I've seen it in the workplace. People who are given a nice $100,000, $150,000 a year job, and they don't feel worthy of that kind of responsibility, that level of recognition in the company. And so they steal a $500 laptop so they can get fired. That sense of unworthiness, that sense of shame, drives us into self-destruction. I've seen self-destruction in so many different ways. Alcoholism, addiction to cigarettes, pornography, whatever. People find ways to destroy themselves through their addictions because they are ashamed. Jesus wants to heal that wound of shame. In fact, this is an interesting statistic. 70% of large prize lottery winners, people who win more than $1 million in a lottery, are bankrupt within 5 years. 70%. Because they were not worthy. They have that infection of shame in their soul. And so they were not able to take that and to move forward with it, or to receive the blessing. But this is the good news. We know the God who heals. It is God's desire to heal us of those wounds that are deep within our soul, within our mind, our will, and our emotions. One of the things about people who have died, had an experience with God, almost every one of them, in fact, every one I've read a lot, describe God the same way as this being of light and of love. God is light and love. And when we receive Him, when we're able to accept Him as who He is, allow His light and His love to rush into us and to rush through us and to heal us, then we can be transformed. A lot of times people are afraid that if they commit a sin, if they do something wrong, they break one of the rules, that God is going to get angry. He's not going to love them anymore. Here's good news. There is nothing you can do to make God love you any less. Because love is not something God does. Love is who God is. It is His nature. It is His being. He cannot do anything but love you. Scripture tells us that in Isaiah chapter 23, it describes the crucifixion in that passage that is called the Song of the Suffering Servant. And in that song, it says that Christ, as He was crucified, in the wounds that He bore for us, He took away our shame, He took away our sorrows, He took away our sickness and infirmities, He took away our sins and our iniquities. In other words, God is literally dying to heal you. All Jesus wants to do is to fill you with His love and His grace and come to heal you. God has a plan for you, and it's this. It is Christ's desire to come into your life and to give you abundant life, fulfilling life, life that is rich and is meaningful. The Scripture says, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly, to know a life of fulfillment and a life of joy. That's His desire and purpose for each of us. Now, the Hebrew word for sin is ra'ah, which means brokenness. It's broken. Something in our relationship with God has become broken. But Jesus comes, and on the cross, He is broken to heal our brokenness. and to bring us together with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with God the Father, in a special and unique way, restoring that relationship that God had with Adam in the garden. Remember, Adam and Eve and God just walked together to get, and talk about things and share their lives together. It was all good. You know, and Adam's out naming the animals, and God's saying, what do you call that thing? He says, I call that thing an aardvark. And God says, an aardvark? Yeah, because it eats ants. God says, why don't you call it an anteater then? Oh, I'm going to call it an aardvark. So Adam and Eve and God are having this wonderful relationship together, but then it became broken when Adam and Eve, out of their disobedience, became fearful and ashamed, and they hid themselves, and they ran away from God. But Jesus, he comes into our world, into our life, into our history, and he becomes broken to heal the brokenness, to bring it all to back together. And in that, Jesus bears five wounds. He is wounded in his hands and his feet and in his side. Now, those wounds correspond to the five wounds that are caused by the fall. Five things that happened when Adam and Eve disobeyed and ran in fear and shame. The first of those wounds is deception. Remember how it all begins. Eve is deceived. The deceiver came to Eve and convinced her it was a good thing to disobey God. You would become wise. You'd become like God. Deception is the first of the five wounds of the fall. We're going to deal with that more tomorrow in our deliverance from deception time. Second is legalism. It was on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, knowledge of right from wrong. He said, well, isn't it good that we know right from wrong? That's not what Jesus called us to do. Jesus called us to live a life of love. He didn't come to try to enforce some kind of right and wrong rules, because here's the problem with right and wrong rules. If you do what's right, you can be proud. And if you do what's wrong, you can be ashamed. Neither of those are good options. Jesus says, forget the right and wrong, live love. Legalism is one of the five wounds caused by the fall. Fear, we talked about Adam running away and hiding from God. You know how many times Jesus tells his disciples, do not be afraid? Well, first place, the angel says that to Mary, right? And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus says, do not be afraid. When Jesus is walking on the water, he says to the disciples, do not be afraid. When Jesus is teaching the disciples, he says, do not be afraid because I have overcome the world. Fear drives us from God. Faith draws us into God. That whatever we face in this life, we know that God sees, God cares, and God provides. One of the five wounds is shame. We've talked about that. How shame drives us into self-destruction. And then the last of the five wounds of the fall is death. But Jesus came that we might have life, have it to the full. By his death, he destroys death, so that we can live eternally. Jesus came to reverse and heal the wounds of sin, the wounds of the fall. Jesus is literally dying to heal you. Now, you know, one of the things that we often misunderstand in the crucifixion is we realize that Jesus dies as a sacrifice for us, right? He is the sacrificial lamb to heal us of our sin. But why did he have to suffer so badly? You know, and actually in the Old Testament, whenever you killed an animal as sacrifice, it was required by the law that he die painlessly. And so rabbis went through lots of training to be able to kill an animal painlessly so that he could be offered as a sacrifice. But that wasn't the case with Jesus. Jesus suffered and died in his passion. Why did he have to suffer so much? And this is why. Because every time we face rejection, we face disappointment, every time we face pain or sorrow or loss, Jesus is able to say, I know how you feel. I've been there. I am with you in your pain. I am with you in your sorrow because I walked this road in my passion. Think of the life of Jesus. He was rejected by his hometown. He was betrayed by one of his closest friends. He was falsely accused by those who should have protected him. He was beaten by those he loved. He was stripped naked and hung out in the open for all to see. And he was executed by those he forgave. Whatever we face in this life, Jesus is able to say, I am with you. I understand. I am with you. And Christ carries those wounds into eternity with him because they are his marks of victory. Like a soldier who comes back from the war with war wounds, and he can remember in Henry V in the play, Shakespearean play, he says, "You will show." Henry V says, "You will show your wounds proudly, and say, I won these wounds on St. Crispin's Day, on the field of Agincourt.'" Everybody know that play? Know that? Oh. All right, homework. Go get the Kevin Branagh movie on Henry V. It's a Shakespearean play. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. So what is inner healing? Hurtful events, broken relationships, past mistakes, they all leave this imprint on our souls. Remember what our soul is? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. They leave that imprint, and we need healing. Inner healing reaches into that wound, and it severs the grip that regret, that wound has on you. And you know you're healed of that regret when you can remember what happened, and it does not stir you. Your blood pressure doesn't rise. Your palms don't become sweaty. You remember at regret, and you say, oh, that was just a mistake I made that I learned from. When you can look back on your life and not have regrets, but just realize I've learned from my mistakes, then you know that grip that regret has on you has been changed. You cannot change the past, but you can change your current reaction to the past. And that is how we begin to be healed, so that the past no longer has a grip on us. Now, one of the questions that Jesus asked, do you want to be healed? This is a serious question. I deal with a lot of people who have very deep wounds, but they are unwilling to be healed because that's the life they know. If they accept healing of those wounds of their past, they're not sure who they're going to become. Maybe they have wounds in their past, and that gives them, they think that gives them a right to be angry. And maybe they like being angry. They can control other people by being angry. They can manipulate others. Do they want to be healed? Do they want to give up that right to be angry? Do they want to give up that right to be in control of others? Or are they willing to be healed? And the healing journey is not an easy one. I mean, you really have to face your wounds, face the issues in your life, that separate you from relationships, that separate you from other people. Face those wounds and ask God to heal them. You have to take the fig leaves off and stand naked before God and let God say to you, I love you just the way you are. And that can sometimes be scary. And one of the things that we have to do if we want to be healed is accept responsibility of being healed. To give up our desire to control others, to give up our anger, to give up our excuse for not having accomplished things we thought we should have accomplished, for giving up your excuse for not fulfilling God's plan and purpose for you, for running so far from God you wonder, can I fulfill God's purpose for me? Well, I stand here to tell you it's not too late. All right. Anybody want to guess what age I was when I was ordained a Catholic priest? 63. The Vicar General, he's coming on and he's preparing all the men who are being prepared for ordination. He looks at me and says, my God, you're old. It's not too late. You can fulfill the purpose for which God created you. All you have to do is walk towards Him with your fig leaves off and let Him say, I love you just the way you are. It is by Christ's wounds that you are healed. It is by Christ's death that you are set free from death. And it is by Christ's worthiness that you are made worthy. Holy cow, wait a minute. Some of you are going to say, well, you know, that's heresy. I'm worthy? I know I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm the worst sinner I know. Which is true. St. Paul says that. I say the same thing. So how can I possibly be worthy? Because by Christ's worthiness, you are made worthy. It's actually in the Mass. Did you know that? Where is that in the Mass? You're not paying close enough attention. In the second Eucharistic prayer, which is actually the oldest Eucharistic prayer in our Mass, we pray this prayer. It says, thanks be to God, who has counted us worthy to be in His presence and minister to Him. Doesn't that sound upside down? That's what the prayer says. God has counted us worthy to be in His presence and minister to Him. We're all there for wanting Christ to minister to us, aren't we? Now give me some of that blood of Jesus. It forgives me my sins, right? Blessed be the blood of the Lamb. That's a Baptist song. But anyway, how can we be made worthy to stand in God's presence and minister to Him? Because of Christ's worthiness. See, we're always afraid that God is going to look upon us and see our sins, aren't we? But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God has separated us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. He's dealt with our sins. He's cleansed us of our sins. He's washed us in the blood of the Lamb. He has purified us in the waters of baptism. He has made us into children of God, and He has made us worthy to stand in His presence and minister to Him. St. Paul writes, give thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Give thanks to God the Father. He has made us worthy. so we can let go of all this, oh, you know, I can't do anything. I can't fulfill God's purpose for me. I'm not smart enough. I'm not clean enough. I'm too much of a sinner. God doesn't like me. God's probably angry with me. Let all that go. Christ has made you worthy. Rejoice in that. Give thanks to God the Father in that. We're going to do a prayer exercise. This is a prayer exercise that I developed in my own work, in my journey of healing from PTSD, and I'm going to share it with you. It employs Ignatian imaginative contemplation. Some of you have studied that, because I did a talk on prayer, a retreat on prayer here last year, and some of you said, yes, you've got a group here, right, that does Ignatian prayer on a regular basis. It's marvelous. Usually when we think we're going to pray with words, right? We're going to tell God, well, most of us are going to tell God what we want Him to do for us, right? We've got our list, you know, and so we'll go there and we'll tell God what we need Him to do for us, as if He was our servant and not the other way around. But imaginative prayer, we pray in our imagination. We give ourselves into the attitude of prayer, give ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and allow the Holy Spirit to work at us at a deeper level than the conscious mind. We need to get beyond our understanding and get into our heart. Remember the guy in the Mass we talked about today? How far was the scribe from the kingdom of God? 12 inches. This from his head and his heart. Get out of our heads, get into our hearts, and allow God to bring cleansing and healing. And you know what? Deeply felt emotions, we can't put those into words anyway, can we? We just can't. All we can do is just feel. Sometimes we pray what St. Paul says are groans too deep for words. Right? We need to get down at the very core of our being, into our soul, into our mind, our will, and our emotions, and allow God to bring healing. So to begin this exercise, I'm going to ask everyone to think about a deeply held regret. It can be anything from your past that when you think of it, it causes distress inside of you. It causes uneasiness. It causes you to feel ashamed or fearful. Something you don't want anyone to know. You don't even want God to know. Think in terms of a very deeply held regret. And it can be something simple, right? Failure to do something for your spouse you knew they really wanted, but you were angry with them that day and you just wouldn't do it. It could be something deep. It could be people that you rejected, people you hurt, people you killed. Hopefully that's not anybody here, but I just heard confessions at the federal supermax prison the other day. I heard a lot of murder confessions, right? Which is kind of wild. And I'm a combat vet. I know exactly what it feels like to kill people. I know that pain. A deeply held regret, whatever that is inside of you. And we're going to do this prayer exercise. Wrong button. All right. There we go. We're going to do this prayer exercise for the healing of regrets. I want us to begin this exercise with some deep breaths. Okay? I'm going to ask you to take a very deep breath. Hold it for just a second and then let it out. And we do this because there's so much stress that builds up inside of us during the day. So much stress builds up in our bodies. Take a deep breath, and as you breathe in, imagine breathing in God's peace. And as you let it go, imagine yourself just letting go of the stress and anxieties of the day. Take a deep breath, and as you breathe in, just imagine giving yourself to God. And as you breathe out, let go of everything that separates you from God. Let go of the fig leaves. Let go of the postures that you assume so that people won't notice your nakedness, so God won't see your nakedness. Deep breath in and relax. Continue to breathe deeply. And I want you to imagine, in your imagination, that you're going into a room, and the room is very dark. It's not frightening, it's not scary, it's just dark. And as you're in there in this room, you begin to notice that there's a little bit of light on one wall, and that white light begins to grow. And as that light grows, you begin to realize that what you're looking at is, it's a movie screen. It's a screen. And a movie is beginning to play in front of you. And that regret that you mentioned, that you thought of before we began this exercise, you see that incident, you see that episode in your life, you see that replay in front of you. And you watch that event, that episode that causes you so much pain. And I know it causes you pain. I'm sorry that it causes you pain. But we need to look straight into this wound to find the healing. And you know that even though in this terrible episode, God was with you. God is there. And as you watch this episode and you see this event replay before your life, I want you to begin to say this prayer. Even though, and in your mind, think of that episode, that thing that you did or thing that was done to you that causes you pain and grief. Even though this happened to me, or even though I did this, I want everyone to say, God loves me just the way I am. And allow that love of God to wash in and through you. You don't have to be perfect for God to love you. He knows what you are. God became human. He knows everything you've experienced. God has watched you your entire life, and He has never stopped loving you. God loves you just the way you are. And now I want you to think that even though I did this, even though this happened to me, God forgives me just the way I am. Everyone say that. God forgives me just the way I am. God's mercy, the scripture says, is from everlasting to everlasting. There is no limit to God's mercy. There is nothing you can do that God cannot forgive. He forgives you just the way you are. And then I want, even though this happened to you, or even though you did this, I want you to say, God accepts me just the way I am. Someone, God accepts me just the way I am. But then there's a therefore, and this is the hard part. Recalling this event, say, even though this happened, or I did this, I love myself just the way I am. I love myself just the way I am. I forgive myself just the way I am. I forgive myself just the way I am. And finally, I accept myself just the way I am.
I accept myself just the way I am.
All right, again, I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath. And then as you let it out, just let all that pain and sorrow, all that fear and shame, just melt away. Take a deep breath. Breathe in God's grace and God's peace. And then let it all out. Let it all go away. Know the healing that only God's grace can bring. And sever the power that event, that regret has had in your life. And now as the screen goes dark, know that you see the room has become light again. It's become bright. And you wonder, where is this light coming from? And it's coming from inside of you. Because the God who is light and who is love dwells within you. And you are healed. Wasn't big enough. Amen. I've shared this healing exercise with a lot of people. And it usually is that point of forgiving yourself and accepting yourself where people have the biggest struggle. I shared this with a woman who had had an abortion years before. And she had never forgiven herself for that abortion. She had never accepted herself, and because of that, she didn't believe God could accept her. When God loves, forgives, and accepts us, that has to bubble out. First to love, forgive, and to accept ourselves, and then to love, forgive, and accept one another. And when we're able to do that, guess what? We are ministering to God Himself. Because Jesus says, whatever you do for the least of these, my brothers, you do for me. And we were able to love, forgive, and accept sinners, including ourselves. Then God has made us worthy to be in His presence and minister to Him. You said you'd come and share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending you away, but just like you promised, you came there to stay. I just had to pray. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Boy, you pick us up fast. Your goodness so great, I can't understand. Dear Lord, I know that all this was planned. I know you're here now and always will be. Your love loosed my chains, and in you I'm free. But Jesus, why me? And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried, and I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Jesus, I give you my heart and my soul. I know that without God I'd never be whole. Savior, you open all the right doors, and I thank you and praise you from earth's humble shores. Take me, I'm yours. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried, and I strove to remind you that for those tears I died.